In the book of John, chapter 18, we have the account of Jesus being before Pilate. Verse 33 beginning, Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you up to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Pilate therefore said to him, "You are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" We appreciate all those that are here today. We have visitors. Thank you for coming today. Hope you've brought your Bibles that you'll study with us from the Word of God. We certainly are appreciative for your presence. It's good to see the members that are here. Got a number of our own that are traveling. Have some that are sick that we need to be remembering in our prayers, as was announced earlier. It's good to be back home. My wife and I took a little R&R, and appreciate Damon preaching for me last Sunday. When we talk about truth, I'm not sure that we have stopped to consider the fact that we are living in an age, nothing really new, but we're living in an age where truth is subjective. By that I mean that truth is whatever you want it to be. Truth is whatever you feel like it is. And as a result of that, it's caused a lot of division, dissension, argument, and wars. In our society, whether you're talking about politics, science, religion, gender, truth is subjective. Most do not hold that there is any specifically defined truth. That's how Pilate reacted to Jesus. What is truth? So this morning, I thought it would be good for us to just take a moment, look at a very simple topic. If you take your concordance and you look at the word truth as used in the Bible, it's a bunches of times in the text. We'll not go through all of those, but we'll choose a few of those that will help us to identify the very idea of what is truth? Is there any truth? We'll make some quick application of that. But as we stop to think about this, Jesus, in talking to his disciples, or when he was with his disciples, and then praying to God, he said, "Sanctify them," that is his apostles, "by your truth. Your word is truth." Now, most people today that consider themselves to be a believer in God, and even taking it a step further, believe in Jesus as the Son of God, believe that this book is the Bible, and believe it to be the Word of God. Now, what society has done very successfully throughout the centuries is to water down and to change and to de-emphasize what God has spoken. Throughout the centuries, man in his wisdom has argued a simple truth. Every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God, the Hebrew writer said. So that's contested. There's been idolatry. There's been atheism. There's been agnosticism. There's been modernism. There's been all kinds of isms. And all of those chip away, destroying a simple fact. The very first verse of the Bible: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So because man wants, feels, they say something different. Jesus said, God's Word is the truth. So here's a premise that I think that our world desperately needs. And brothers and sisters in Christ, each of us desperately need to understand that there is a foundation, there is a basic idea that God has provided for us, not ambiguously, not subjectively, but absolutely what is right. I think people are confused. I know people are confused. They don't know what to believe in anymore. COVID, politics, etc., has caused most people to be very cynical, to be very pessimistic, to not trust anything that you hear, and very little of what you see. And I'm telling you that that is a miserable place to be. Not being able to have some kind of grasp of whether it's black or white, whether it's good or bad, whether it's up or down. Because I think God has created us with a desire to know. I don't have the answers as to why young people do all the wild, crazy kinds of things they do. But so much of what young people do, I believe, is screaming loudly to those round about them, please help me to know what's right, what's truth, is it good or bad? And I think it just takes a matter of time for everyone, for instance, to question gender, male or female, and all that goes with that today. That will only go so far. Because that road of being ambiguous and subjective ends in a train wreck. Throughout history, man has taken deep dives off the cliff with going their own way, doing their own thing, and not listening to God. And it always winds up as a disaster. And if you're a student of history, you'll see where man goes through those kinds of times, and that at some point after the great collision or the great fall to the bottomless pit, there is a renaissance. There is an awakening. And there is a get back to truth. And where do we find that truth? And it is amazing throughout history how many times people have come back to God. In this country, we are light speed fast heading toward the bottomless pit. And it's going to crash. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But if you've studied history and you've studied your Bible, time and time and time again, history repeats itself. So today, I want to just talk about truth. And truth is something that the proverb says you need to buy and not sell it. My wife and I, last week when we were on vacation, we love going to the Smokies. We don't love doing anything in particular other than eating and sleeping and just eating and sleeping. And then we do some eating and sleeping. And every once in a while we'll throw in go into some stores or something other. And I found this real neat tool store. And man, they had tools galore, all kinds of little specialty tools and little gadgets and stuff. And I went around looking at all that stuff. And I said, oh man, that would be neat if I had that and I could do this. And oh, I saw that and I like that, and maybe get that and so forth. And I look at it for a little while and I hold it for a little bit and then I put it back down. I'm like, I don't need that. But every once in a while you run across something, you go, oh man, look at that. I didn't even know they made such a thing. I've been wanting one of those. And you pick it up and you go to the counter and you buy it and you take it home with you. Did you know that we live in an information society? I have become such a slave to Google. My wife and I cannot have a conversation for more than 10 minutes till one of us has to look something up to find out what the answer is. Drives me crazy not knowing the answer. Spiritually speaking, a lot of our problems, a lot of our issues in all the realms of our life comes back to a single nucleus. And that is, if you're not grounded in what is truth from God's Word, you're a lost puppy. You're confused. You're uncertain. You just got that kind of gut feeling that you don't know which way to go. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," you need to believe that. And you need to accept that. And all of these other confusing statements, ideas, truths, ideologies, isms, will become very clear when you understand God's truth. So buy it. Buy it and do not sell it. Quickly, let me show you a few examples of that. The Bible talks about you need to know the truth. And Jesus said it this way, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall..." And the truth shall set you free. Free from what? I think specifically, the truth is going to set you free from the bondage of Satan and sin. And what does that enable us to be able to do? It enables us to be able to be free from the world, from all that the world offers and that the devil is trying to do to destroy us. It is truth that does that. Hosea, the prophet, wrote the words of God by saying, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." People are headed straight to destruction on a snow sled because they don't know the truth. People don't know Jesus. Oh, they know who He is, or they've heard of Him, but they don't know Him. They don't understand that what He says will set them free from all of this misery that we are in. God didn't intend for us to live on this planet and be miserable, be uncertain, and not know which way is up, and be confused. That is not what God intended for us. But the majority of people are. Why is it that the United States, still supposedly the most wonderful, greatest, bestest country in the world, and why is it that we per capita have more suicides than any other place? Why is that? We used to be a people, a country, in God we trust. That is not true anymore. And when you take away "in God we trust" out of your life, you're on the road to destruction. That's a fact. So you need to know it. You need to rightly divide it. Some versions in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15... "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing." Some versions have "handling accurately." But you know, a lot of people will refer to the Bible to prove and to justify just about anything that they want to do. And what they're doing, they're misusing God's Word. The devil started that stuff. In the Garden of Eden, we've discussed this many times. What did the devil say to Eve? Did God say, did He really say that in the day that you eat, you shall surely die? Is that what He said? Causing her to question God's command. And He created doubt in her. Because He then reverses and says, "But you shall surely not die." He planted the seed. She took it, hook, line, and sinker. And she ate the fruit, and she died. And people have been dying ever since. Because the Word of God was not handled accurately. Still happens today. In Acts 17 and verse 11, an example of the Bereans, they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether the things that Paul had preached to them was true. They understood about truth. It's not subjective. There's a matter of right and wrong. How do you prove? How do you disprove? How do you understand? Go to the source of truth, God. Study that, you'll know what's right. You need to love it. You need to love the truth. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is a text that is quite the challenge. But there seems to be the key presented to us in chapter 2 and in verse 10. You'll notice there that in the text, let's back up verse 8. You'll remember some of this language. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of His mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of His coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power, with all signs and false wonders, and with all deception of what in the world? All this hoodoo, voodoo, crazy stuff going on. What's going on here? What is going on in the world? He says, for those who perish, people that are on that sled heading for the pit have denied something. They've done something. What is it they've done? The text says, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. You know, every service we offer the Lord's invitation. Every service we appeal to the hearts of men and women to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel planted in the hearts of men and women. The gospel is the power to change people's hearts, to make them to understand what sin is, that they're guilty of sin. They need to repent of that sin. They need to be forgiven of that sin. And if you have a love for truth, if you have a love for what's right, if you have a love for God, when you hear that information, it causes you to react in a favorable, godly, repentant way. But when you don't care about truth, you don't care about your sins, you don't love the truth, you don't love the Lord, you let it go in one ear, out the other. The parable of the sower says when the seed is broadcast and sown, the devil comes along and picks it up so that it does not bring forth fruit. That happens in this auditorium every service. Remember we talked about what the devil does on the Lord's Day? So here's the deal. Truth. If you don't love it, you're a disaster ready to happen. In Psalms 119, the psalmist made it very clear how very important loving and appreciating God's Word is. Psalms 119, beginning at verse 165. The text says, those who love thy law have great peace. Do you have peace in your hearts? Are you confused? Sleepless nights? Don't feel secure? Feel out of sorts? Feel like something's just not right? Those who love God's law and obey God's law have peace. Those things don't bother them. He goes on to say, and nothing causes them to stumble. There are people that you know that are confident. They walk straight. They have a purpose. Nothing seems to rattle them. They say things like this. I don't put my trust in worldly things or worldly people. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm not concerned about all the crazy things that are going on in Washington, D.C. or in China, because God is my king. He is my ruler. He'll take care of everything. I'm going to a better place. You ever talk to a person like that? They love truth and they love God's law and they have a peace. Do you have that kind of peace? Verse 166, I hope for thy salvation, O Lord, and do thy commandments. My soul keeps thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. He realizes that everything that he does, that he thinks, God knows, God sees, God understands. And I'm in his hands, and why should I worry? If you love the law of God and you trust it, you understand that the gospel, the good news, gives you hope. And your hope ain't out yonder. Your hope ain't in D.C. Your hope is in God. So you put your trust there. You believe it. Not just superficially. Not just every once in a while. Or randomly. In 2 Thessalonians, again, that very difficult passage, I want you to notice just a portion of another passage that's there that's quite enlightening. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you'll notice there in verse 12, he says, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Ah! Now we hear the truth. Do you know why people are wicked? Because they like it. Do you know why I eat chocolate cake? Because I like it. Do you know why when my wife and I go to Baskin Robbins and she orders Jamocha almond fudge that I nearly want to throw up? It's because I don't like Jamocha almond fudge. It's nasty. If you ever see me eating Jamocha almond fudge, you just say, he's off his rocker. But if you see me eating baseball nut or pralines and cream, ha ha, yeah buddy. Did you know people that love the truth and believe the truth, they believe it because they want to? I want to believe the truth. But if you don't want to believe the truth, guess what? Now, this is tough. Better get out your slide rule. Get this right. I realize I lost about 3/4 of the audience not knowing what a slide rule is. Google it. You don't believe because you don't want to. Is there not a religious debate about belief and salvation? People believe what they want to believe. That is subjectivism. The reality of it is, when you believe the truth, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. Now, my Bible says that when you believe, faith is an action. It's what you do. So if a person says that they believe in Jesus, but they haven't obeyed Jesus, guess what? Here's the truth. You're a liar. That's harsh. That's direct. But it happens to be the truth. When you pretend to say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you've not obeyed Him, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So an essentiality of truth is you got to believe it. But what carries with that as well is that you obey it. And I just went ahead and said that. Truth is what you obey. You obey from the heart that doctrine, that truth. When you know what's right, do do it. Just do it. I like this verbiage in Ephesians 6. And this is a beautiful idea about truth that God presents to us. And Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 14, he says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." He's talking about the armament of God. So we're soldiers. So what do we gird ourselves with? Truth. You wear that. A couple other passages talk about the idea of just wearing truth. So here's the deal. Do you believe in God? Then wear it. I have some Kentucky shirts. When my team is doing good, I wear it. When they start doing bad, I put it back in the drawer. I become ashamed of my team. I've noticed y'all do the same thing with Alabama and Auburn. When they're doing good, we fly the colors. When they're not doing so good, we hide them. So what about as a Christian? What do we do with the truth? Depends on who we're around as to what we wear. You know, truth is truth regardless of who you're with. Truth is truth regardless of where you're at. Wear it. Own it. Don't be ashamed of it, of what's right. I think we all need that encouragement. We live in a world where there's lots of naysayers. And we've seen lots of, quote, Christian conservative ideas and woke and other peoples destroying those people. But we must wear it. We are believers in the truth of God, even when it's tough. And you must suffer for it. Remember the passage in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus talked about, "Blessed are you when men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of my name." Remember that? If you're going to believe the truth, then you're going to practice the truth. When you practice the truth, you're going to get shot at. And people aren't going to shoot at you with just, you know, a slingshot. They're coming after you with bazookas and tanks. And they intend to destroy you. And it is Paul who said to the Galatian brethren, he said, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I have taught you the truth?" If somebody at work asks you about transgenderism, let somebody, a next door neighbor, ask you about what you think about homosexuality. And just think about yourself, how you react to that. And I'm not saying we're to be belligerent, we're to be ugly, we're to be unkind, we're not to be homophobic, we're to be God-loving of all peoples, because God loves everyone. He does not love our sin. He does not love our sinful actions. But He loves people. But we shy away from any kind of conversation about that. We don't want to talk to people about that for fear of reprisal, for fear of losing a friend, for fear of being an outcast. And that's being ashamed of the gospel. We need to wear it. And we need to understand that when you stand for what's right, you're going to suffer for what's right. Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." That comes with the territory. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. He goes on in the text and he says, there's going to come a time when people don't want the truth. And they want their ears tickled. That happens all the time in churches. I have friends who are gospel preachers at other churches, and elders are telling them, "Don't you preach on marriage and divorce. We'll not have any of that around here." What do you think about elders telling the preacher not to preach the truth? It's a sad day in the kingdom of Christ, brother. You don't want the truth? You don't want to hear what's right? You're on the road to destruction. You need to support the truth. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the church is the pillar and the support of the truth of God. Out of any and every place in the world, in the local church, the truth should be supported. It should be in every way applauded, encouraged, even if it hurts what it says to us. Does the truth of God's Word, when it's preached, does it ever hit you right between the eyes? Did you think the things that you were saying or the things you were doing or the things that you were not doing, you thought you were okay until somebody got up and preached what God said about it? And when God says about it, it just zeroes right between your eyes and it says, "I'm guilty." That ever happened? You still going to support it? Quick application. Salvation. Is that subjective? It's whatever you feel. It's necessary to get in that water? Like Tucker got in the water this past Sunday, was baptized and had his sins washed away? Was that just subjective? You know, this is videoed and put on Facebook and goes out all kinds of places. I'm sure there's going to be somebody said, "Well, what in the world did he get in the water for?" There's a truth, isn't there? Is there a truth about that? Then what is it? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's the truth. It doesn't matter what PhD guy or some pastor said, or some church said, we're going to do what the Lord said. That's the truth. Is that popular? No. Is it okay for a man and a woman to live together unmarried, having sex? The world says that's just fine. If you remember, those old enough to remember, our television shows, starting back in the 70s, introduced the idea of homosexuality. It was laughed at. It was frowned upon. All kinds of comedic things about it. Still shameful. Now, many, many homosexuals and lesbians rule this country. Now, are we teaching homophobic ideas? No. God loves every one of those people. We should love every one of those people. But let's be careful that we don't change the truth. Sodom and Gomorrah is still a memorial to all men everywhere for all time, God's attitude about that sin. That's harsh. People don't want to hear that. But it is the truth. Can you divorce your spouse just because of any reason? The world says yeah. What does the truth say? Do you even know what the truth says? We can take our money that we collect on the first day of the week and we can just distribute it any way we want to. We'll just be subjective about it. Whatever feels good, we'll do it. What if we all decide to take the Lord's money and we're going to build? It don't look like we're ever going to get one in Rogersville, so we just go ahead and build us a Chick-fil-A at Rogersville. And we'll build it by the Anderson Church of Christ funds. Y'all be behind that? That would be great. Chick-fil-A. Think about that. We'll make tons of money that we can help all brethren throughout the world. There'd be brethren to step up and say, I'll sign up. Let's do it. Whoa, stop. What does the truth say about that? Well, that don't matter. We're doing a good thing so that good may come. That's subjectivism. That is an absolute refusal to listen to what God's got to say about it. And that's the way churches do business all the time. There's lots of application of this lesson. Lots. Do you know the truth? Do you love the truth? Are you practicing the truth? Well, here's a major truth for some of you here this morning. If you've never done what Tucker did, what BB did just the other day, and a bunch of others recently, there's clothes over there. There's water in there. You can be baptized into Christ. Have every sin washed away. That's the truth. Will you obey it? Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Give a soul, why will you take?